You may have seen or read about it in the news lately. The late actor Philip Seymour Hoffman didn't leave any money to his children because he didn't want them to, quote, be considered trust fund kids. Sting recently talked about spending or giving away the bulk of his fortune before he dies because he worries about trust funds being albatrosses around people's necks, quote unquote. We hear similar stuff from Bill Gates and Michael Bloomberg and others. Now, most of us aren't in the same financial universe as these guys, but Forbes ran an article a few years ago that estimated baby boomers are going to get about $8.5 trillion in inheritance. What do you do when you come into cash, property, or other valuables? And on the other side of the coin, have you made a plan for your stuff when you go? Sev Manesian is a certified financial planner, president of a company called Public Retirement Planners. He's also an adjunct professor at Northwestern University's School of Professional Studies and teaches estate planning. 312-923-9239 is the number to jump in on the conversation. What's your reaction to these famous folks? What's your attitude toward either giving or receiving inheritance? Mr. Manesian, welcome to the morning shift.
Jason, thank you. Nice to be here with you.
What is the most preferred tool for estate planning, a will or a trust?
The most, you know, the most preferred from a planning standpoint is a trust, because you're keeping the assets and what you want to do with those assets private. But if the next question, I guess, would be what's the most popular tool, it's simply a will.
Okay, and so what generally is the difference between the two? Why would you need a trust?
Well, if you want, and I want to clear up one thing, maybe that I get this from customers or prospective customers, is that, oh, only the super rich need trusts. And that's simply not the case. I mean, you would want to have a trust if you even have possibly only $100,000, if you want your assets to actually go specifically to my three kids, but I want to leave my fourth child who might have a drug and alcohol problem. I still want my fourth child to get some assets, but I don't want him to get everything all at once. I want the trustee, the person that I'm trusting to actually follow through on my wishes that are spelled out in the trust. I want him to release those dollars to my troubled child over the next 10 years, or, you know, they have to prove that that they've done some counseling for drugs and alcohol or something like that. So kind of an extreme example, but I think answers the question.
Okay, yeah, it does. And let's define another important term. What are advanced directives?
Oh, so an advanced directive is that you can ask firefighters will see these, but you'll actually, if you're in poor health and you don't want to be resuscitated, you don't want to be given CPR, you'll actually give an advanced directive. It's a if we reverse the words there, it's a direction in advance to your to the people that are, you know, that are there to save your life. You don't want them to do that necessarily. Maybe you just want to go peacefully, and that's all.
And it also, beyond illness, it also covers business and financial matters, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're making plans for the future. You're not waiting till the very last moment, of course, too. And then when you're talking about business planning, it's kind of complicated, so you definitely want to have these directions that are given to your family and friends and your advisors well in advance of your death.
And what would happen if you don't do this stuff? If you don't, you know, do some estate planning, or you don't have advanced directives, how hairy can it get?
It can get messy. You know, I kind of, maybe it's not a joking manner, but I always say to customers or prospective customers when they come in, you know, when you know that Jerry Garcia has done better estate planning than you, you know that you're not in good shape. And the thing is, we can tie that into Philip Seymour Hoffman. He said he didn't want his kids to get any of his inheritance. What's going to probably wind up happening is that the kids are going to see a pretty sizable amount of his estate, because the courts are they're favorable in terms of giving assets to a spouse. He wasn't married, but also to children.
Now, Jumping on, you brought back Mr. Hoffman into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Two things jump to my mind. Number one, he's leaving it all to his partner. She could theoretically disinherit them, couldn't she?
Well, now those are her biological children, and the kids already have an attorney. They're appointed by the court. So what is going to happen is the kids are, because they're all under 18, they are going to see some of his estate. So that's what, when you were asking before, what can happen? The Hoffman didn't want the kids to have a trust fund, but most likely what's going to happen is a trust is going to be set up for the three kids.
And because they weren't married, it's my understanding that the feds will actually get $15 million of his estate.
Right. His estate was worth around $35 million. And with federal estate taxes, the top rate being 40, you know, you get a 40% chop. And then the New York State estate tax is about 16%. Yeah, I mean, his girlfriend, I should say, and then the mother of his children, and his children are going to see a $15 million reduction in their wealth.
We're talking inheritance, the best ways to handle giving and getting with Sev Manesian. He's a certified financial planner and president of a company called Public Retirement Planners. Let's go to line one. Eric in Brighton Park, welcome to the morning shift.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. I understand our condolences. You lost your mother last year, and so what situation do you and your family find yourself in?
Yeah, you know, I want to tell everybody that there's nothing more crucial that you can do for the people that are going to be following after you, your kids or whatever, than to make a will, even if it's only a small amount of property or something. And you think, oh, well, it's just your brother and the brother and the sister. They'll be able to work it out. Money brings out the worst in people. Money brings out the absolute worst in people, I'll tell you what. And it was lucky that I have a brother and a sister, and the brother was pretty well, you want to talk about phoning in, and he wasn't even phoning it in this past few years with my mom being sick, and then, you know, my mom passes away, and then he comes up, playing the grieving brother, and, oh, by the way, and where's my half? Well, my mom had cut him out of the will.
So she did have a will.
She did, and she made arrangements in the last, she updated it and made arrangements that, made her wishes known as far as the divvying up of the property. There's just the condo that's being worked on, and a small amount of, a couple little collector things that she saved and whatever. But she made arrangements for everything. She was very specific on the will, and that's what you really have to be. You need to sit down with a lawyer and really get this ironed out so that there's no contesting. Nobody can come in at the end and say, oh, well, this wasn't clear, this wasn't clear.
Eric.
Right. There was some issue at the end here, but we could turn and say, hey, mom had this written down in the will. There's no ambiguity about it.
Sure,
these are what her wishes are, and
sure,
if we not had that, we'd probably still be sitting in court right now.
Sure, Eric, thanks so much, Sev Manesian. The other side of the coin, we're first talking about giving away. Now let's talk for a few minutes here about inheriting. What are the pitfalls of inheriting if you're lucky enough to inherit a large sum? What are some of the things that people have to be thinking about as far as, what do I do with this now?
Yeah, that's the thing. And sorry to hear about your loss, Eric, and then the kind of the problems that came up afterwards. What to do when you get the asset? I mean, I can just from personal experience with my customers, what happens when they get an inheritance, typically they are paying off, if there's a mortgage, they're paying off the debt. Any credit card bills, they're usually not, because most of my customers are over 50 years of age. They don't run up credit card debt or anything like that. But you have to watch out for people coming out of the woodworks, and this is what happened in Eric's case, unfortunately. Jason, you had asked before, what's the benefit of a trust over a will? Well, if Eric's mom had actually put her directions as far as what she wants to have happen with her wealth actually in a trust instead of a will, there would likely not have been either a good contest by, you know, by Eric's family or by his brother. Because in a will, you can still contest that. And you can actually, you can disinherit a child, but a judge will listen to that child. That child contests the will. There's really no contesting a trust easily.
And finally, I just want to see if I'm on the right track here. I mean, two keys that I think you would tell just about anybody that walks in your office. Number one, educate yourself about managing money. And two, don't sign anything that you don't understand. Are those like the two key elements to all of this stuff?
Absolutely, especially when it comes to signing things. We know there are a lot of lowlifes out there. Creditors and predators also come out of the woodwork when they find out that somebody has gotten an inheritance. The other thing, too, if you get an inheritance and it's not even sizable, or let's just say it's $10,000, okay, which is nice. Let's say it's a lot more than that, too. Park it in cash until you're absolutely positive you know what to do with that, until you're working with an advisor who is trustworthy or you yourself have gotten educated. You don't have to run out and start spending that money and sign up for an annuity or something like that. So just take it kind of to slow during a tough period. That's all.
That's Sev Manashian. He's a certified financial planner, president of Public Retirement Planners, also an adjunct professor at Northwestern University School of Professional Studies. He teaches estate planning there. Mr. Manashian, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Jason, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. And you guys have a nice day.
You too.